Productions published.
Hi.
Hello.
Good evening.
All right, how are you guys?
Fantastic.
Oh, splendid.
Oh, what have you been guys doing today?
I had a great walk on business to the city, and during which I listened to an audiobook. My day began fantastically, and now it continues fantastically as I am speaking with you.
On business, that sounds very serious.
Yeah.
No, that
what
sounds...
kind of business do you have?
Well, maybe that's his secret.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm breaching your privacy, I'm sorry.
Absolutely no secret. My father asked me to retain something for him and send it with the boss to own it.
Okay.
My day was spent at Почта Россия today.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about it.
I received notification yesterday saying that I have a mail, so but because I moved here quite recently, I had to find out where the post office is. It was quite far from where I live, so I took a bus, went there. The moment I opened the door, I was actually already disappointed that I got mail, because there were like, I don't know, maybe 300 people in one post office. But I didn't give up.
Well, yeah.
I didn't give up because I was very curious what was in the box. So I waited and waited and waited. It was about, I would say, 3 hours.
Oh, goodness.
So I
am very sorry.
Oh, you shouldn't be. You are the reason. So I finally got my mail.
And it's very small, actually. It's very small.
And I was very excited because I didn't know what was in it, but I decided to wait till I got home so that nobody could disturb me and I would have the pleasure of opening the box and see what's inside. But I was, you know, shaking it on the way home and trying to guess what was inside. It was quite heavy for a piece of art, and it was too big for a piece of art. So I was thinking maybe that's food. So, and I was right, actually. So after some minutes trying to open the box, because it was, you know, sealed very well, I discovered that there were a lot of different kinds of nuts and grechka.
Yeah, buckwheat chocolate.
Yeah. And you went nuts.
Yes, and I was so excited because just recently, by the way, it was from Landish, for those of you who didn't guess. And I was quite excited because just recently I was telling her that grechka is, how is that grechka in
buckwheat.
English?
Buckwheat.
How?
Buckwheat.
Buckwheat. Okay, whatever. So this kind of food is a luxury for me right now, and that's why she decided to send it to me. So thank you very much, Landish.
No problem. I had the same thing when I was in St. Petersburg. I had to pay for the whole apartment, so it was like my whole salary went there, and I had just like 1,000 rubles for the whole month to feed myself. At that time, I loved buckwheat, but it was so unfortunate that suddenly there was no buckwheat in stores. Or if it was, it was very expensive. It was like 100 rubles for a pack of buckwheat.
Why?
I don't know. They said that it was because summer was very hot, so it was very expensive. At that time, I ate only certain fruits and certain vegetables and buckwheat. Right now, I don't eat any buckwheat, so I eat only fruit and vegetables. And so it was very...
Fresh or can you stew fruit?
I can steam them. I can steam vegetables, but I don't anymore. I don't know why. So at that time, it was very crucial for me to have buckwheat. And I remember that my mother always sent me like 3 or 4 packets of buckwheat with the Russian post.
Well, that was really very, very nice of you. And I was, actually, you made my day. Now, you know, I'm smiling all day.
It's great. It's great that you loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm actually waiting for, because we sent a parcel. Yeah, I sent a parcel with our presents for Daniil, and it takes.
And I did receive a notification from the Petrozavodsk post, and I'm going to go there on Friday.
Well, there is no buckwheat.
So.
Oh, I so hoped for that.
next time, definitely.
So anyway, how long did it take for this present to go from Nabrezhny Chelny to Petrozavodsk? Like 4 weeks?
3 weeks, I guess.
3 weeks.
Almost, I think 3 weeks. Yeah.
Anyway, time changes, but Russian Post remains the same.
I love them very much.
You love them.
Because I have such a long relationship with the Russian Post. I remember that I almost cried once when I was trying to send a parcel to France. I had two parcels that were packed with souvenirs, and there were two letters. Because you can't send just a parcel with nothing, you have to send a letter explaining, for example, what you have there, why, what's the purpose of certain things. And they said that it is not allowed to send a parcel with a letter, that you have to send it separately. Can you imagine it? And of course, the letter got there first. And in the letter, there was like explanation of everything that you have in a parcel. And the parcel got there like 1 week or 2 weeks later. And I have to pay, of course, more than, for example, if I send it together. And it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's redunculous, favorite word. I was just wondering, why are there always problems with Russian Post? And I was just thinking, maybe they don't have enough people. Why don't they have enough people? Well, because the salary is quite ridiculous. There is this ad on this Russian Post I visited today saying that they need postmen badly. The salary is 10,000 rubles. I mean, who would want to work full-time for 10,000 rubles living in St. Petersburg? I wonder some very weird enthusiasts. And of course they don't have enough people. So I think this is their motto, like, don't change.
Yeah.
Irritate people.
By the way, what do you do while standing in lines?
Listen to music, look at people, think about their background.
Because I don't understand people that just stand there and do nothing, and just staring.
What about you? What do you do?
I'm listening to audiobooks. It's a perfect option for me.
It sounds so like you are in the middle of a construction site.
just let me know if the sound is too bad. Because for me,
no, it's not too bad.
For me, it's really bad. I'm trying my best to hear what you're saying.
Her name sounds quite similar to the name of a communication software, ICQ. Accordingly, she embraces a wide range of contacts and is always online when needed. She's Asia.
Woo!
With one hand, she draws from her mind pictures and puts them on the digital canvas, and with another hand, she caresses her beloved cat. Maybe she's doing that right now as she speaks. She's Andish.
That's a good way of fishing for compliments. It's very nice that at least once a week we can hear some compliments.
And at last, if you wonder how to choose from 100 of ideas, images and characters, the ones you need especially to express your thoughts and feelings in a short story, ask him and he will confuse you even more. He's Daniel.
Chinese husband sues his wife for being ugly and wins $120,000. So the reason is as follows. Northern Chinese resident Tian Feng divorced and sued his wife for $120,000 and won. The story goes that Mr. Feng was deeply in love with his beautiful wife until they had a baby girl. Feng was horrified at how ugly the baby was and demanded to know who his wife had cheated on him with, because the baby resembled neither of the parents. As it turned out, his wife didn't cheat, but did gloss over the fact that she had spent $100,000 on intense plastic surgery to severely change how she looked before she met him. It's the kind of thing that can slip your mind on the first date. After his wife revealed this to him, Feng took the only right-minded course of action and divorced and sued her, claiming that she got him to marry her under false pretenses. The false pretense presumably being that she was good-looking. Incredibly, and presumably male judge sympathized with Feng and he won $120,000 in the case. He won the amount he requested, $120,000, while his now divorced wife had spent $100,000 on extensive plastic surgeries by apparently very gifted South Korean surgeons.
Did she undergo the surgery because of him, or just because she wanted to be beautiful?
Well, I don't know, but apparently he did not know her before the surgery. So maybe she knew him, and maybe she wanted him to get attracted by her. But he did know her before.
Okay, but the judge, was he male? It was a man, right?
Yeah, he was a man, yeah.
I'm sure if it was a female judge, things would turn out differently.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, what do you guys think about all these plastic surgeries?
It looks frightening to me, because for me, plastic surgeons are the characters from horror movies, something like that.
What do you think about this case, Daniil? What do you think?
If I had a girlfriend and she did plastic surgery, I would criticize her. It's against the natural.
But we all get attracted by the beauty, right?
Beauty is not in the lines of the face, it's in the smile, it's in the eyes, and it's in the mimic. And if this poor Chinese man doesn't understand that, I pity him.
Children are all beautiful, you can't say that a baby girl was ugly. Maybe she didn't resemble neither of the parents, but how can you say an ugly baby?
Once my mother said to me, she told me that she thought me ugly when I was born.
I was such a kind mother.
Yeah.
I was soaked and I was wrinkled and my eyes weren't open yet. She just exclaimed, "Oh, why he's so ugly?" But then when I was washed and when I opened my blue eyes, then blue, now green, she rethought.
Okay, well, he's okay.
His pretty eyes. Okay, it's fine by me.
Okay. What about you, Landish? Were you criticized when you were a young girl, when you were little?
I remember that my mother told me that when I was born, I was like the heaviest child.
Oh, really?
I was born, yeah, at that night, because I was born 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And I was like the heaviest and the tallest. And right now it's completely the opposite, yes. Actually. But no, she didn't say that I was ugly. Maybe I was, but she decided to conceal it. What about you?
I remember when I was little, I guess about 5, I asked my mom something like, "Mommy, am I beautiful?" And she said, "Well..."
I don't like the beginning.
I don't want to lie to you, Asia, but not really. I mean, you're okay, but you're not the most beautiful one. And I guess that really...
What's wrong with your parents? I don't understand you.
I mean, maybe she was right. Otherwise, I would think that I am the prettiest girl, and I were the center of the universe, you know. But at that time, my self-esteem fell quite low. Yeah. And since that time, it never actually recovered.
Oh, that's horrible.
But anyway, I mean, I still remember her words.
I remember that I had long hair for quite a long time when I was a child, and I was so fed up with it because I wasn't allowed to cut it. Mm. And I remember looking at some pictures in magazines and saw those short-haired girls, and I was so envy. So once when I don't remember what when it was, but it was like I was maybe 13 or 14 years old, and I remember that I just went to the bathroom, I took scissors and just cut my hair very short and very uneven, of course, and I just went to the bedroom and showed my parents.
Wow.
I was very rebellious, yeah.
And very brave.
I had long hair for like my whole childhood. So then after that, I just cut it shorter and shorter until I was like a boy. And maybe 4 or 3 years ago, I decided to grow them.
My situation is the opposite of yours, because I want to wear a long beard, and I'm not allowed to do that.
Well,
once a month when I go home, I am compelled to shave half of it.
Oh,
size. It's so sad, I almost cry.
Great sacrifice.
My mom says that long hair doesn't suit me.
Mm.
So she always tells me, cut it short. I am being rebellious and I don't cut it.
Go against the system.
Remember that. Next time when you are a parent.
A South Korean scientist In Sung Hwang is going to offer his services to the UK. This is the news part, and the most curious part is that he defines his profession as the healer of broken hearts because he has cloned tens of dogs while working in the USA. Those who have stored their beloved pet's DNA and have spare $100,000 can go to In Sung Hwang, and he will, figuratively speaking, revive a pet. In fact, it will be a new pet, but it will look and behave 99% as the previous one. However, sometimes certain predicaments arouse. For instance, pregnancy rate for surrogate dog mothers is only 30%, which explains the enormous cost of the procedure. Moreover, pups may be born with genetic diseases, and that also obliges the scientists to give it another try. Is it appropriate for people who believe that animals have souls? And would you go for something like that?
That's very tempting.
I would rather have some new cat. Mm-hmm. Because in the history of my life, my mother, my grandmother, my second grandmother have lost their pets. And I saw it all. So I got used to losing pets, so I wouldn't want to revive one. It would feel creepy for me.
Yeah, same thing. Pet owners should try their best to keep their pets alive and healthy as long as possible, but as for reviving, that's too creepy.
And it costs exorbitantly high, $100,000. And if you believe that your animal have a soul, which I do believe, no one guarantees that the soul of your previous pet somehow transfers to the body of this new one. And so this is basically why I wouldn't go for it.
What do you think about cloning?
I think it's inevitable. I mean, it's creepy and not natural, and it's against all possible rules of nature, but at the same time, that's where we are going to, and we can't stop it. Even if it is not legal right now, in some laboratories, they are doing these experiments, and probably they have already some results in cloning people. We don't know it yet. So I guess it's inevitable. We have to face it. We have to live with it. But, well, of course, I am absolutely negative about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe cloning some parts of the body can be useful.
Yeah, the stem cell research and cloning of the parts of people so that, for example, because there is a great shortage of human organs. And yeah, this would be great. I don't really see a purpose of cloning people. Why would you want to revive a person? Person should be dead.
Out of curiosity.
Just out of curiosity.
Scientists do that out of curiosity. Just because they can. They want to have a look at what happens.
And again, maybe relatives of a dead person would like to recreate this person. Their maybe dead child or dead sibling. Mm-hmm. And they would think, oh, we can clone and spend a huge amount of money on that.
Well, it is easy for us to say because, well, I, for example, personally haven't lost anyone that would be very dear to my heart. So it's very difficult to say whether I would like to, for example, if someone dies, whether I would like to revive him or not. So I don't know.
I read somewhere, I read a book about all stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I read somewhere that there is the so-called normal reaction and abnormal reaction. When a person loses someone, of course it is normal under the circumstances to be in depression, to cry, to want to die, things like that. But this stage has an end. It's not forever. It's not unlimited. But the abnormal reaction to grief is when a person doesn't want to change anything and gets some kind of satisfaction from grieving, from being in depression. When people want to revive or to clone the dead ones, the dead relatives, this is not normal. This is not how they are supposed to overcome this problem. Anyway, I guess they need a psychologist more than someone who can help them with clothing.
George W. Bush is a painter of puppies and semi-nude bathroom self-portraits. He started off painting dogs. I think he said he painted 50 dogs, says painting teacher Bonnie Flood of her student George W. Bush. He pulled out his canvas and started painting dogs, and I thought, oh my god, I don't paint dogs. Images of the former president's paintings also showed up in a series of hacked emails. Those images included purported self-portraits of the 43rd president in the shower and the bath. The painting teacher says George W. Bush is going to go down in the history books as a great artist.
Well, Adolf Hitler was an artist too.
Yeah, I know.
As we all remember. It's great fortune that George W. Bush is no longer a president.
I think that he's bored. He doesn't really know what to do with his life.
I think it's quite in fashion to be an artist today.
But dogs, like 50 paintings of dogs? Oh, I don't know.
Why not?
Okay.
It is so typical of politicians to get bored of their lives after they are out of these power circles.
When I was in St. Petersburg, I met an artist there. He saw my portfolio and he invited me to his classes, which were quite expensive, actually. And I remember that I didn't like it from the very beginning. Although I had great respect for him for as a teacher. Yeah, he was quite interesting. But I think that I took maybe 6 or 7 classes. There were so many people, like amateurs, who bought housewives, you can say. Most of them were because, they were just didn't know what to do with their lives and they decided to start painting, like maybe motivated by some films. What's the name of the films? Eat, Pray, Love, something like that.
Yeah, Julia Roberts.
Yes, horrible film.
It's not a bad film, come on.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I was so bored, especially the part about pray.
Because you're not a housewife. That's why you were bored. When you are a housewife, you will understand.
I hope that I will never be a housewife. No, I won't. I promise you. Then he invited me to his studio to show his works. And first of all, I was surprised that there were very few works, so there were not many things that he did. I think that he spent most of his time just teaching people. I remember that I didn't like them, didn't like his works, and I thought, oh my god.
What were they like, his works?
They were just colorless watercolors.
Colorless watercolors.
Yes.
David Cameron, British Prime Minister, has called on Argentina to respect the wishes of the people of the Falkland Islands after they voted unanimously for the territory to stay British in an unsurprising but still historical referendum that aims to send a defiant message to Argentina and the outside world. And the Falkland Islands have always been British territory, but in 1982, as a part of the process of decolonization, Argentina tried to claim these islands, and which provoked a war between the United Kingdom and Argentina, and the United Kingdom prevailed. But what is interesting that people want to stay British. 92% of the population of the island went to vote, and of them, almost all voted for the status quo. All but 3 people, which is very interesting. I was wondering
Some kind of Argentinian spies, maybe.
Who were they three people? Yes, one version is that they were Argentinian spies, but I thought that this was a conspiracy. These people were paired or asked to vote against so that poor Argentina would not have been offended too much.
But so how many people live there?
1,650 people. It is ridiculous that Argentina still wants these 1,500 people back. Why?
Like a principle, yeah.
It's more than it's more like a principle.
And besides, there are some historical reasons for that. So, do they just want this? Like, that would be some kind of a victory for them. Disney turns away from hand-drawn animation. Studio says none of its animation companies are working in the traditional 2D format, and there are no current plans to do so again. They actually ditched some of the 2D artists because of the emergence of computer-generated technology in the 90s. Disney doesn't rule out returning in the future to the style which made the company famous, but the long gestation period for Hollywood animated productions means a gap of 7 years before any new film might emerge. One US blogger covering the news of hand-drawn animation's demise has pointed to rumors that Disney is planning a feature using similar techniques to the Oscar-winning short film Paperman. That film was produced by animators working with computers who were drawing rather than modeling images. Do you like those kind of 3D films? 3D animation films?
I don't.
I hate 3D. I absolutely despise and I hate these 3D glasses because after them your ears hurt as hell.
But there are some really nice 3D animated films like Pixar. What was the name? Ratatouille?
I haven't seen it in 3D.
No, they're made in 3D. That's not 2D. 2D is when you draw, when it's hand-drawn.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I haven't seen them in 3D, those cartoons.
No, you don't understand it. They are already in 3D. They are already in 3D. They are not hand-drawn. When the film is in 3D, that means it is modeled. Because there are several programs that you allow you to model the...
Yeah, I know, but you still can watch Ratatouille on a TV. But it won't be in 3D. It will be in 2D.
But it doesn't make it 2D. It is 3D, Arthur.
It matters.
Well, yeah. I understand what you're talking about, but for in order to watch a movie in 3D, you need to have special.
No, it's not like that. 2D is, for example, take a Lion King, yeah?
Yeah.
It is hand-drawn. It is 2D.
Yeah.
It is 2D. But if you take, for example, any Pixar film, like Up. Yeah.
Okay.
It is 3D because it is modeled. It is modeled in program. It is not hand drawn.
I understand.
And that makes it 3D.
So you can watch it on TV and it will be 3D.
It is 3D. Yes, it is 3D.
And how do you? What is the difference then between? Okay, I don't understand. Then difference between all these movies you can watch without glasses and when you actually put on these glasses and you can. You have the impression, the feeling that the objects are closer to you, you can touch them. How is that called then?
I have no idea. I think that's called 3D. But still, when you say 3D, because you know software, 3D Max, if I'm not mistaken, this is where you can make 3D animation. Because you model the body. It is like you can turn it around so you can see from all different angles. But when you make it 2D, it's only on paper. It's just 2D. There are just lines and colors.
Okay.
Adorable, yeah. Okay.
We are still shocked and embarrassed
by that. Yeah.
2D, 3D.
You'll have to read about it.
I'm actually already trying to write down something about it so that I don't forget to read about it.
But of course, there are some interesting 3D films like Ratatouille, which I love, absolutely love, because it is about France.
It is about rats, also, and your cat wouldn't love it.
Yeah. But the rat is adorable.
Are they?
No, just this one, Ratatouille.
Speaking rats are adorable, absolutely.
They are.
before I start to speak, I have to ask on this issue how to correctly pronounce the name of the brilliant comrade.
It's Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un.
And
how can you not know about it? He's like a single brilliant person who lives right now, and we're so lucky to live during that time when he is around.
Okay. North Korean state media says that Pyongyang has carried out a threat to cancel the 60-year-old armistice that ended the Korean War, enraged over the South's joint military drills with the United States and the recent United Nations sanctions. Pyongyang has piled threat on top of threat, including vows to launch a nuclear strike on the U.S. Seoul has responded with tough talk of its own and has placed its troops on high alert. The Ministry of South Korea has warned that the North's government would evaporate from the face of the earth if it ever used a nuclear weapon. The White House said that the U.S. was fully capable of defending itself against the North Korean ballistic attack. North Korea's rhetoric against the USA, however, sounds absurd, since Kim Jong-un missiles are yet technologically incapable of hitting the territory of the US. However, there are still worries of a smaller conflict on the Korean Peninsula. So how do you like that?
I absolutely adore him. And I like this quote. I saw it somewhere in the news when they said that when we shell the missiles, Washington, which is the stronghold of evils, will be engulfed in a sea of fire. Yes. Part 2 of Adventures of Kim Jong-un, the Brilliant Comrade. Kim Jong number un sipped his Pepsi and decided to stick with that plan. In order to bring it to life, he had to call up a meeting. But first things first, basketball practice. Damn, I made Dennis Rodman visit me, he thought. He even called me awesome. I know it required some persuasion on my part. Like my daddy said, it's always wise to have a gun on you and a big red button with the words kaboom on it. With such thoughts, Supreme Leader entered his own sports hall of fame. Kim's daddy was the greatest athlete who ever lived. He once shot 5 holes in one in his first try at golf and bowled a 300. Considering he could change the weather based on his moods, he was probably a boss at ultimate frisbee. Kimi was not different from him. There were photos made last summer when he secretly played with NHL biggest stars and destroyed them with his superb physical powers and agility. There were trophies upon trophies. Number one athlete. Every golden medal from North Korean National Olympics starting from 2010, when his daddy kicked the bucket. He holds first places in cycling, fencing, ice hockey, archery, rugby, and most importantly diving, when he astonished the jury with his remarkable skills of plunging into the body of water. There were life-size portraits of Kim playing football, crushing his opponents in long-distance marathons, doing somersaults, riding bears, opening jaws of a shark that was scared brainless by Kim's imposing stature. There were also fresh recordings of his unique fitness at home videos, where he starred and showed everyone that you can have a perfect body by using these simple exercises for less than 20 minutes per day. He was planning to launch them this spring before the beach season, when, face it sisters, you've got to show it all. Kim Jong, the irresistible un, put on his basketball jersey, shorts and a special Nike sneakers when a group of people from the Politburo of the Workers' Party of North Korea came in wearing uniforms with words "losers" on them. "Okay, let's get this party started," said Kimi and hit the ball. To be continued.
Your piece of writing could inflate a war, you know.
Yeah. I'm not sure that they're going to listen to it. So yeah, next week I am going to continue astonishing you with my super writing skills.
If the world is not engulfed in the nuclear war by the next week, we will listen to you.
In a sea of fire.
A sea of fire. An ocean of fire will lie between them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done. I have nothing else.
so...
So, neither do we.
Dear listeners.
Of course. Advertisement, finally. I completely forgot about it. Okay, go on.
Dear listeners, we love you. What I was going to say?
I don't know.
Dear listeners, anyway, we appreciate that you listen to us, the crazy ones. Do visit our website. Do I need to say that?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, it's www.linguistiv.ru. We have some spring discounts on our lessons. You can check them out and maybe make up your mind and buy a package of fantastic lessons with us. We will be happy to teach you. You can also subscribe to our group in vk.com and do our crazy quizzes
and do them in a very wrong way. So
yes,
I don't know. They're so simple. It's so boring. Okay.
Okay.
No. It's nothing against you.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
No, you can listen to us next week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Don't say anything so hilarious. I'm having a hard time containing myself. I'm about to laugh out loud.
Well, you can if you want to.
You can, yeah.
We never restrict you in anything.
It is going to be erased now.
It's not going to be erased. I'm just erasing myself.
We never erase laughs. All right.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will hear you next week.
Hope my neighbors were not disturbing you too much.
I think that they already stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, they stopped half an hour ago.
All right. Okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Goodbye.